probably everybody knows. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jive Daya Kori. How many of you know this song? Shapar Shad Shiyo Dham. You have it there?
Yes.
Okay, so this song is by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. This is the first song of Sharanagati. What is the meaning of the word Sharanagati? Surrender. And surrender is a process. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur is explaining the process of surrender. Surrender has 6 limbs. Sometimes in Sanskrit, the entirety is considered to be a body, and different aspects are considered to be limb. Just like I explained yesterday, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, and Bhagavatam has how many limbs? How many cantos Bhagavatam has? 12 cantos. Those 12 cantos are 12 limbs of the body of Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, the body of Sharanagati has 6 limbs. And those 6 limbs are humbleness, dainya, atma-nivedan, surrender, offering oneself, goptritte boron, accepting Krishna as the Lord and Master. How many we got? 3. Dainya, atma-nivedan, goptritte boron. Then the 4th is avashya rakhibe Krishna vishwash palan. To have the implicit faith that Krishna will protect. The implicit faith that Krishna will protect. Avashya rakhibe Krishna vishwash palan. Bhakti anukul matra karjero shikar. Accepting whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness. And finally, rejecting whatever is detrimental to Krishna consciousness. So how many limbs you got? 6. So, the Sharanagati, the process of surrender, comprises of these 6 aspects. In order to surrender to Krishna, what do we have to do first? Become humble. Can an arrogant person surrender? No. And when we become humble, then only we can offer ourselves to Krishna. Atma Nivedan. Atma means the self, and Nivedan means offering. Offering of the self. Now the 3rd aspect is, naturally the question arises, why should he want surrender? Why should he want surrender to Krishna? Because Krishna is the Lord and Master. Since Krishna is the Lord and Master, therefore there is a natural consideration of surrender. And then, okay, if Krishna is the Lord and Master, then what will Krishna do? What does the Lord and Master do? Does the Lord and Master exploit? Or what does the Lord and Master do? The genuine Lord and Master protects. So to have that implicit faith that Krishna will protect. And then accepting whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejecting whatever is detrimental to Krishna consciousness. To be fixed up, what do we need to do? Accept whatever is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable or detrimental. So, it's happening. Okay, then let's see. So you got everybody. Everyone got it, yeah? The song? How many of you will be able to sing it with me? Okay. And so maybe we'll sing it at the end of it. So at the end of the session. So we had some kirtan, so we can just go straight to the class then. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a child, was very naughty. And his parents used to get quite upset. Naturally, the parents become annoyed when children become naughty, especially when they do something which is very, very unpleasant. So one day, Jagannath Mishra invited one brahmana to his house. Many brahmanas those days used to wander from one place of pilgrimage to another. So this is a natural tendency of the brahmanas, because they are not, those days, especially the brahmanas, were not so interested in mundane way of life. They generally used to be more concerned, more inclined towards spiritual development. And therefore one of the things they would do is just go from one place of pilgrimage to another. And they were very strict. They used to travel, but they used to cook their own food. These people, these brahmanas, would not take any food, even cooked by other brahmanas. And naturally, the household of brahmanas, when they used to see such a wandering brahmana or men, like, they would invite them to their house. And so Jagannath Mishra invited one such brahmana who was traveling from place of pilgrimage to another place. So, and as I said, the brahmana cooked his own food. The householder, Jagannath Mishra, provided all the ingredients and a place for him to cook. And so the brahmana cooked. He was a worshipper of Bal Gopal. Krishna as a baby Krishna. And at that time, Nimai also was a baby. So when the brahmana cooked the food and he was about to offer it to his shalagram deity, at that time, Nimai came and started to eat that food. So brahmana was offering with closed eyes, with his eyes closed. And when he opened his eyes, he saw this little child is eating the food that was meant to be offered to Krishna, Bal Gopal. So he cried out, "Oh, look, this child has spoiled my offering." So Jagannath Mishra came running and he saw what happened.
and he was about to beat this little boy. Nima at that time only was about 5 years old. The Brahmana stopped him. A child, he doesn't know what he did. So by chastising him, by beating him, what did you do? What kind of lesson will you teach him? So in this way, he prevented Jagannath Mishra to chastise him. And Jagannath Mishra was naturally very embarrassed. Like, how will you feel if you invite somebody to your house and he is about to eat and your son comes and starts eating his food? And not only his food, the food that was being offered to the Lord. So Jagannath Mishra was very embarrassed, so he requested. So the Brahmana said, it's alright. Like, sometimes I travel through the forest, and for days together, sometimes I don't get anything to eat. I'm used to fasting. So today, Krishna probably doesn't want me to eat. That's why he didn't accept this offer. So Jagannath Mishra begged him that the Brahmana said, give me some fruits that will be fine. No, no. Please cook again. So finally the Brahmana agreed. So they took Nimai away from the house to a neighbor's house. Those days the Brahmanas used to live close by in the same area, and nearby in another Brahmana's house. They took Nimai, carried Sachimata went, and other ladies also took him. And in the meantime the Brahmanas cooking. And these ladies were teasing at Nimai. We have eaten the food cooked by some Brahmana. Who knows what is his caste? Because among the Brahmanas also, there are different categories of Brahmana. A high class Brahmana will not eat the food cooked by a lower class Brahmana. So this Brahmana, no one knows what his caste is. So they were saying, Nimai, you lost your caste. You have eaten the food cooked by somebody who knows what's his caste. So what was Nimai's answer? Does a cowherd man lose his caste by eating the food cooked by Brahmana? Nobody could understand what was he talking about. Does a cowherd man lose his caste eating the food of a Brahmana? So they couldn't understand why Nimai was speaking. Nimai even said, a cowherd man loves to eat the food cooked by a Brahmana. He always makes it a point that he would get the food cooked by a Brahmana. Then the second time when the Brahmana was about to offer, again this little boy came and started to eat. Again the Brahmana cried out, see, once again he spoiled my offer. So Jagannath Mishra again was about to beat him up, but Brahmana stopped him. That's one thing. Like Jagannath Mishra as a father sometimes would like to chastise his son. But somehow or other something would happen. Somebody will come and plead on his behalf. He won't be able to chastise him. So that same thing happened. The Brahmana begged him, no, please don't chastise him. And so Jagannath Mishra said, please cook again. So he said, no, see, it seems that's my destiny today. Like, Lord doesn't want me to. Now this is the attitude of a devotee. Our mundane people will get upset. Why this happened to you? When something unfavorable happens, a materialistic attitude is to complain, to get angry. But a devotee, how should a devotee take it? A devotee takes it as if it's the Lord's mercy. It's the Lord's desire. The food didn't come to me. In spite of making all the arrangement, it didn't come to me. Therefore, I have to understand that the Lord doesn't want me to eat. So this is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, seeing things in the light of Krishna. And body consciousness, controlling it. I want this. I am arranging this. Therefore, this must happen. But Krishna consciousness is, Lord wanted this. Lord wanted this. And whatever Krishna arranges is for our benefit. That is a devotee's attitude. There is a saying in India, whatever Krishna does for you is for your benefit. Okay, I'll tell you a small short anecdote in that respect. A prince, while playing with his friends, you see, they play with weapons and things, so he cut his finger. The tip of his finger, little finger, got chopped off. The king was very upset. So he asked the minister, look, this is what happened to my son. The minister's response was, whatever the Lord does is for our benefit. Bhagwan jo kuch karte hai, hamare bhalai ke liye. Whatever the Lord does is for our good. The king became so upset. My son lost his finger and you say whatever the Lord does, as if you are very happy that it happened. So the king put the minister into prison. Then one day the prince went hunting and he lost his way. He got separated from the group. He got lost. And at that time, some dacoits came and arrested him. The dacoits were looking for somebody to offer to Kali. Do you remember the story of Jarabharat? So they thought, now he got a very nice offering to be offered to Ma Kali. And so before the offering at night, that offering takes place in a deep depth of the forest in the middle of the night, in the middle of new moon, when there is no moon in the sky, Amavasya. And they have a brahmana also, a dacoit brahmana, the priest of the dacoits. So, but he knows the culture. So the offering has to be made through a brahmana. So when the brahmana was watching, they found that this boy is defective. His finger is cut. He cannot be offered to Kali. So the son came back, returned home, and told what happened to the father. And the father felt very guilty that he kept the minister in the prison. He the immediate way, big forgiveness. So apparently something may not happen to our favor or according to our desire, but we should take it as Krishna's divine arrangement. Another story in that respect, it's not a story, it's a real thing. Somebody lost a flight. You know where the flight was to take off? From Boston. And the day was 9/11. 11th of September. And that person came late and he lost his flight. He had a very, very important appointment. And he was so upset. But then after some time, he got the news that the plane that he was supposed to be went straight into World Trade Center in New York. Therefore, if you miss the flight or miss the boat, don't lament, don't get upset. Even someday, if you miss your dinner, don't get upset, rather take it as Krishna's mercy. So this Brahmana took it that way. Krishna doesn't want me to. But then Vishwarup came. He walked into the house. He was in his early youth. Very handsome. And the Brahmana, just by seeing him, he got awestruck. What a beauty. He never saw such a man. And when Vishwarup heard what happened, then Vishwarup begged him to the man, please, for our sake. And a householder considered that it is inauspicious if a guest remains hungry in his house. So Vishwarup appealed to him, please, please take your dinner. Please make them another offer. So finally Brahmana agreed. But this time everybody became extremely careful. Like this time, most rarely they dozed off to sleep and Nimai came out of the house. It was just a next door neighbor. So this time, they took him to a house far away, farther away. And everybody surrounded Nimai. Jagannath Mishra bolted the door from outside. And not only that, with a stick in his hand, he was sitting by the gate, by the door. And it was quite late. It was this time that three times he cooked. So it must have been close to midnight. And when he was making the offering, again this boy came. Although he was locked in a house, surrounded by everybody, by the time they all fell asleep, including Jagannath Mishra, with the stick in his hand. And Nimai came and started to eat. But this time when the Brahmana was about to cry, Nimai said, what kind of a person you are? You invite me to come and eat, and when I come and eat, then you start screaming and shouting and crying. So then, Nimai showed him is eight-armed form. In four arms, first he showed his form as baby Krishna. And then he showed himself with his four arms. He was holding a lotus, conch, nest, and disc. And with two hands, with one hand he was holding some food, and he is eating that. The two hands of a baby holding the chip rice and yogurt rice. And with two hands he was playing his flute. So this is how Rimai revealed his identity to the Brahmana as the Supreme Personality. And he told him not to reveal his identity to anyone. And that Brahmana, who was always traveling, he stopped traveling. And he settled down in Navadvipa. And every morning he used to come and have the darshan of Devi. Krishna also actually played this pastime with the Brahmana. This pastime happened with Krishna also. So, anyway, as I said, Nimai was very, very naughty. He used to, now he has grown up a little more, and he used to go to the bank of the Ganges. And the bank of the Ganges, those days, there used to be two areas. The area for men and the ghat, the approach to the river. Areas for men, areas for women. So they used to go there, take their bath in their respective areas. So what Devi Nima, what Nimai as a little boy used to do, not alone with his friends. He used to take the clothes from women's ghat to men's ghat and men's clothes to the women. And after taking their bath, they would come out and they would see that their clothes are not there. And they would wonder, what happened? Did we come to the other side of the river and the other ghat? But they were extremely embarrassed, didn't know what to do. And sometimes Nimai would go to the young girl, unmarried girl. These unmarried girls used to worship Lord Shiva. And do you know why unmarried girls worship Lord Shiva? To get a good husband. So they used to offer with flowers and fruits and other things. So Nimai would go there and sit there and tell them, I know why you're worshipping Shiva and Parvati. But Shiva is my servant and Parvati is my maidservant. I am their master. So why offer to them? Offer it to me. So they would get very upset and tell me, mind, what happened to you? Don't speak like that. It's blasphemy. Undermining Lord Shiva and Parvati like should never speak like that. Nimai says, look, whatever I say is the truth and nothing but the truth and the absolute truth. So they would say, Nimai, I'll complain to your mother. okay, you want to complain to my mother, go ahead and do that. But I can tell you, if you don't worship me, now, if you worship me, then you will get husband. Hands up, let's keep it. Qualified as the demigods. And in this way they would tell them. Then some girls would try to run away. Nehemiah said, those who are running away without offering me the worship, they will get a husband. 75 years old. They'll have three co-wives. And so then they'll immediately come running. No documents. Sometimes Nimai would go to the Ganges and some Brahmana was worshipping or chanting Gayatri, half merged, half submerged in the river. And he would grab them by their legs and drag them in. And he would be afraid thinking that crocodiles are, and he would cry out and everybody would be in great anxiety, what happened, and then finally the person will come out as if relieved from this attack. Sometimes while somebody is chanting Gayatri or meditating, he would go in front of them and say, look, the one who you are meditating upon is standing in front of you. And sometimes he'll take water in his mouth and splash it on their face. So sometimes this Brahmana would go and complain to mother, complain to Jagannath Mishra. So Jagannath Mishra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, he would be very upset. He would say, I don't know what to do with this boy. He's so naughty and he is causing so much distress and such disgrace to the family. And he would be very upset and he would take a stick and say, I must beat him up today. The other Brahmanas, those who came to complain, they would say, no, please don't get upset. Don't get angry with him. You know, the reality is, when he does those things, we all feel very happy about it. So please don't chastise him. But Jagannath Mishra would listen to them. No, this boy is becoming absolutely impossible. We must do something about it. So he would take the stick. And the girls who came to complain, they would run and tell Nimai, your father is coming. And so then Nimai take another road, another path, not from the Ganges side, would go to the other side, and he would, Jagannath Mishra would be coming, and he would see Nimai is coming from the other side, and doesn't look like he just were coming from the river. His whole body is dry as anything. It's looks quite dusty. And there are some marks of ink on his face and cloth. And Jagannath Mishra would ask, where did you go? I'm coming from this school. They call it, say, Gurukul or Chatushpati. One teacher would teach. So I'm coming from the Pathshala. But these Brahmanas have complained to you. These ladies have complained. And what was the complaint? You have done this, this, this. I don't know why they all say things like that. Like I'm just coming from my school. And Jagannath Mishra also would be completely perplexed. Like he couldn't understand why he's looking like a looking like it, as if he's coming straight from the school. So in this way, Jagannath Mishra would have, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have his wonderful pastimes in Navadvip with Sri Chaitanya, with his devotees playing different roles. Now, Nimai in school again was an extremely brilliant student. Extremely brilliant student. Like, he went to the school of Gangadas Pandit. And Gangadas Pandit never seen such a brilliant student. Anything that he would hear once, he would remember. No matter how difficult the topic was, he would hear it once and he would remember it. And as a result of that, he started to advance very, very quickly in his studies. So that is another aspect of Nimai. So extremely brilliant student, at the same time extremely naughty. And so Gangadas Pandit started to wonder who this boy is, because he could relate to this kind of brilliance, this kind of memory, only when Krishna and Balaram went to Sandipani Muni Ashram. So he started to wonder who this boy is. So he wanted to check him out. So one day Gangadas Pandit let all the students go and he went to Ganga with Nimai. And he heard that Nimai, at the time of his Upanayan, that means at the time of his sacred thread ceremony, he resolved that only he would touch Ganga with his feet at the time of bathing, not any other. He would not put his foot. So, Gangadas Pandit went to Ganga and he was doing tarpan, doing his worshipping in the Ganga. And at some point, he told Nimai, "Oh Nimai, I forgot to bring I left the sesame seeds, which is used for offering the worship. I left the sesame seed there. Can you please bring them to me?" So Nimai has been ordered by his guru, so naturally he picked it up. He put one step, a lotus appeared. His foot, his step went onto that lotus. Another step, another lotus appeared. So, his vow was kept, and Gangadas Pandit could see who this little boy is, his student was. So, this is how Gangadas Pandit recognized, and to him also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Please don't reveal my identity." So in this way, once again we are seeing that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to hide his identity, but he couldn't do that to his devotee. In that respect, there is another consideration. those two lotuses that appeared were actually the two lotus hands of Mother Ganga to hold the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the school, there was another student in Gangadas Pandit's school. He was also extremely brilliant. But Nimai and this student, his name was Raghunath Siromani, were completely opposite in nature. Raghunath Siromani was extremely studious, very gentle, very obedient, a real good boy, and extremely brilliant. Whereas Nimai, he never touched his books. He was naturally brilliant. So Raghunath Siromani was very ambitious. He wanted to prove himself to be the greatest scholar of Naya Shastra. And he was writing a commentary on Naya Shastra. So one day he told Nimai that he heard that Nimai also is writing a commentary on Naya. Because they all were studying, Navadvip was a place of study of Naya, logic. And so Nimai also was writing a thesis or commentary on Naya. So he asked him, I heard that you are also writing a commentary on Naya Shastra. So will you please tell me what you wrote? So he said, okay, I will show you. Tomorrow I'll bring it with me, and after the school, when we go through the river Ganges in a boat, then I will relate it. So Nimai, while they were returning home across the other side of the Ganges, he was reading that. And he saw that Raghunath Siromani, upon hearing his commentary, he started to cry. He asked him, what happened? Why are you crying? So he told him, frankly, that, you see, I also was writing a commentary. And I wanted that my commentary would be the best. But now, when I'm hearing your commentary, I can see that no one will read my commentary. Yours is so brilliant, yet so simple. So, and he frankly told him that his ambition is to be the greatest scholar of Nashas. So when Nimai heard that, he took his writing and he threw away the thing. Raghunath Siromani said, what did you do? You threw it away. Nimai said, yes. If that is what you want, I do not want to be an impediment on the path of your ambition. Yes, become the greatest scholar. And I'm not going to come in your way. And since then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write anything. Although he was the greatest scholar of all time, the only thing that he presented from his side were the eight verses of Shikshashastra. That's the only thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some scholars sometimes presented that Brahma Samhita was not actually written by Brahma, but it was a presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the writing of Chaitanya. You know what was the Gaudiya Vaishnava response to that? That would be wonderful. We'll find something, you'll get something that has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Now whose presentation is more authentic? Brahma's or the Supreme Personality? And the thing is that Brahma, why should we undermine Brahma? Can't Brahma see Golok Vrindavan and describe Golok Vrindavan? Is Brahma an ordinary person? No, he is the most exalted Sampradaya Acharya of our Sampradaya. So the point is, Mahaprabhu did not present anything in writing since then. And this Raghuna ceremony did become the greatest exponent of Naya Shastra in Kosovo. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day a great personality came, a very exalted personality came to Navadvipa, and he became a guest of Advaita Acharya. And seeing him, Advaita Acharya considered that this person must be something, someone very exalted. And he asked him, where did you get this understanding? This understanding was loving devotion to Krishna. Now through whom this loving devotion to Krishna became manifest in this world? Who remembers? Madhavendra Puri. In that devotion, tree of devotion, who is the seed, who has been considered to be the seed of the tree of devotion? Madhavendra. So Advaita Acharya, seeing him and hearing him, he wondered who he is, and he asked, who are you? And he found out that Ishwarpuri, this was Ishwarpuri, and his guru was Sripad Madhavi. By that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been recognized as a very, very great scholar. So Ishwarpuri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ishwarpuri. And he immediately became attracted. And Ishwarpuri also became attracted. Actually, that's the first time that they met in Navadvipa. And Ishwarpuri once told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was writing a book on Krishna's pastimes called Krishna Lilamrita, the nectarian pastimes of Sri Krishna. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, look, you are such a great scholar, so can you correct the mistakes in the book? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in the description of a devotee, in the writing of a devotee, there is no consideration of mistake. Those who find mistakes, they are mistaken. Because the description about Krishna and his pastimes by a devotee is an expression of his love. And in that loving expression, there is no consideration. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set another beautiful example. That in the description and expression and writing of a devotee, don't find this. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met one very beautiful girl. In the first sight, the girl got awestruck. And he also became so enchanted by the beauty of this girl. So who is this girl? Lakshmi Priya. And the arrangement was made from Nimai to get married to this girl. Mind you, he did not make the arrangement. The arrangement was made in the proper way. The way the arrangements are made is there are things called ghatak. Ghatak means, the word ghatak means the one who makes it happen. So, they carry the possible candidates. They carry the news of possible candidates to the grown-up boys and girls' parents. So this ghatak actually brought the news to Sachimanda that this girl is extremely qualified. And I think this is the right candidate for Nimai. She is the right candidate. And that was true. Who she is? Lakshmi Priya is none other than Lakshmi Devi herself. Lakshmi Devi herself. And who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is Narayana himself. So the arrangement was made for them to get married. And a beautiful description is there. So I'm not going to that detail. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got married to Lakshmi Priya. In the meantime, he started his own school. There was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he finished his study, like he was quite young actually. Many of his colleagues were very, because he was getting double promotion, triple promotion, because he was so brilliant and he was progressing in that way. And he was all the others, I mean, Murari Gupta, for example, he was his classmate. But Murari Gupta was much senior to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some wonderful pastimes with him. So, Murari Gupta was initially a follower of impersonally. So one day, Murari Gupta was explaining the impersonalistic theory based on Yoga Vashishta. Yoga Vashishta is the book for the impersonal. And he was expressing, and then all of a sudden he heard some laughter from behind. So he turned around and he saw Nimai with his friends. He was much younger at the time. He was not even in his school at that time. This was the past time I just recalled from before. Nimai, not even in his school, not even started his education here. So that means he was about 5-6 years old. And he saw the way he was speaking, Nimai was imitating him. He was throwing his hands like this. Nimai was saying. And all Nimai's friends were laughing, saying that. So this is how he would have his pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he grew up a little, he was such a great scholar, and he was so, not really spiritually inclined at that time. He seemed to be absorbed in studies and debates and challenging people, and whoever he would see, scholarly person, he would challenge him. Like Murari Gupta was one. And he had the wonderful ability that Naya is a logic, study of logic. So using the Naya, he would make the presentation that night, the sun actually rises at night. And naturally, they would contest. No, that's not. And he would defeat them, proving that sun actually rises at night. And then he would correct himself and prove that sun actually rises during the day. So that was the amazing expertise Nimai had with his word juggling. His Naya is a matter of word juggling. That's why Shankaracharya said that your grammatical studies and word jugglery is not going to help you at the time of death. Nahi nahi rakshati bhunkrin karati. So, Nimai started his teaching and in the house of Sanjay Mukunda. He was a very wealthy person. So he wanted Nimai to teach his son. And he gave up a big hall in his house. It was in the Vedic household those days, the wealthy people used to have an area which was meant for worshipping demigods. That is called Chandi Mandap. So he offered that place to Nimai, and Nimai started to teach. And as a result of that, many, many students became attracted to Nimai's teaching. So he had, although he was young, just about 16 years old, but he had so many students. He became known as the great scholar of Navadvipa, Nimai Pandit. And so after that, after he started his educational institution, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got married to Lakshmi Priya. And then he decided to go to East Bengal. And East Bengal was known for its wealth, which today has become Bangladesh. It is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to collect wealth with his knowledge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh, and it is said that Mahaprabhu actually went to deliver that part of the land, which was known as Pandava Varjita. That is the place where the Pandavas didn't go. And the place where the Pandavas didn't go, that place is considered to be inauspicious. Now, one part of Bengal became auspicious because of Ganga flowing. But that part Ganga didn't flow. So Mahaprabhu went there to deliver it. And he became well known for his education. See, Ganga there becomes a branch of Ganga, goes into that area known as Padma. That is not Ganga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said, went to deliver or sanctify Padma River. And he set up his residence on the bank of the Padma, and he had many, many students, and he taught them. At that place, there was an exalted Brahmana. His name was Tapan Mishra. So Tapan Mishra was very, very spiritually inclined. But Tapan Mishra was searching for the actual process for spiritual advancement and achieving spiritual perfection. He wanted to find out what is the actual course for spiritual advancement and what is the actual goal for spiritual endeavors. So he couldn't find anybody who could actually guide him in that. He must have spoken to many, but he was not really content hearing their explanation. While he himself didn't know what to search for, but at the same time he was not satisfied what others were offering. Does it happen sometimes? I must admit it happened to me. I was looking for a guru. I didn't really know what to expect from a guru, but at least meeting those people I could understand this is not what I was looking for. And so Tapan Mishra was in a similar kind of a situation. He was searching for spiritual perfection, but he couldn't find a way. Then one night he had a dream. One night, he had a dream, and a divine-looking person told him that this Nimai Pandit, who has settled down and teaching on the bank of Padma River, he is the Supreme Personality of God. So go to him, and he will teach you. So, again, these brahmanas, these exalted personalities, didn't take a dream as a dream. What they saw, they believed. You remember the dream that the pujari of Kirchor Gopinath had? He went to sleep, and in his sleep he had a dream. Gopinath is telling him that there is a person in such and such hut, and his name is Madhavendra Puri, so I go and give him some kheer. And even in his dream, he said, no kheer is left. I distributed all the kheer last night. He said, no, there is one you'll find behind my cloth, behind my dress. So go and give it to him. So he immediately got up. He didn't think, oh, it's a dream. He just got up. And he went, took bath, went to the temple, and he found that behind Gopinath's dhoti, one pot of kheer. Obviously, nobody kept that kheer there. So who kept it? Gopinath himself. As if Gopinath stole that pot of kheer for his devotee, Madhavendra Puri. That's why Gopinath got the name Kshir Chor Gopinath. Gopinath who stole kheer. So this is how we see that these exalted personalities don't dream such a way. They perceive the reality in the subtle plane. In the subtle plane of the reality. So similarly, Tapan Mishra also felt that there is some truth behind it. So he just went, met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he told him. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell him? That Sadhya Sadhana Tattva has been presented in the scriptures. The ultimate sadhana, the ultimate goal is to develop one's relationship with Krishna. That relationship is developed with Krishna through different means in different ages. In Satyayuga, the means is, sadhana is meditation. In Treta Yuga, it is offering sacrifice. In Dwapar Yuga, it is worshipping the deity. And in this age of Kali, it is chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then he explained from Brihannaradiya Puja. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Bhagavata. In the age of Kali, the only means, the only way, only process for spiritual advancement is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Besides that, there is no other way, there is no other way. And then he told him that in this age, the process of spiritual advancement is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra consisting of 16 names of the Lord in 32 letters. Sholonam Bhattrish. 16 names described in 32 letters. That is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And he explained to him that the Lord descends in different yugas to establish the yuga dharma. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that this is the process of making spiritual advancement designed by the arrangement of the Lord Himself. So, he then gave the holy name and told him that he chanted. So this way, it has been pointed out that Mahaprabhu actually started his Sankirtan movement in East Bengal during his travel. Now Tapan Mishra became so attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to go with him to Navadvipa. He told him, I don't have any interest in family life, all these other activities. I just want to go with you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him not to do that. But he told him, instead of going to Navadvip, to go to Varanasi, which is today's Benares. And later on, we will see, after taking sannyas, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Benares, Tapan Mishra was there. So now we can see, like, it happened when Mahaprabhu was about 16 years old, this incident. He took sannyas after 8 more years. at the age of 24. And then he went to Jagannath Puri, and after that he went to Benares. So although this was to happen about 9-10 years after, but he forecasted, he told him, go to Benares. So in this way, he guided Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At this point, I just want to I'd like to see how many questions you have. How many of you have questions? Okay. Anybody may have questions? Okay, I'll say those who have questions, please write them down. I think that will be better. So while I'm taking the questions, if others have questions, I'll stop now, then I'll give some time for question answer. Okay, Shyamananda, you wrote it already. Okay, you can say. Okay, anyway, like those few of you can say your question.
I mean, it would seem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some direct disciples. Could we say that Tapa Mishra was Mahaprabhu's first direct disciple?
It can be seen that way. It can be because he did tell him about the Holy Name even before he started his Sankirtan. So he was the first one who actually he revealed the Holy Name and revealed the secret of the Holy Name. Tattva of Holy Name. Yes, Sri Radharaman.
Thank you very much for this wonderful beginning of the past tense. I just had a question on Keshav Kashmiri. Did he appear before the 16th year, or is that something that you're going to cover at the next seminar?
Yeah, I will do it in the afternoon. I was about to go to, now next thing will be Keshav Kashmiri.
Okay.
Because, you see, Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh, and then he came back. Then he got mad. Lakshmi Priya Devi left this planet due to the separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he got married to Vishnu Priya Devi. And after that, the encounter with Keshav Kashmiri.
Okay. So Guru Maharaj, I'll come back to a question next seminar on that one.
Okay.
For this one, just a very quick question. So you spoke about Raghunath Shiromani and Navya Nyaya. My question was that since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such a profound scholar in Nyaya, without going too much into the future, I just wanted a very quick response on when he was confronted by people like Sarvabhaum, Prakashana, were they cognizant that they're speaking to somebody who is actually a Digvijay, profound scholar? Because Mahaprabhu always presented himself as very humble and meek in front of his seniors. So I just wanted to know, because he was so famous, like you mentioned, he made Navagri so famous as well by his school. So were they cognizant of his qualification, and despite that, still attempted to teach him?
Well, that's the uniqueness of Mahaprabhu's presentation, actually. Like, we'll see that with Keshav Kashmiri, also with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, also with Prakashananda Saraswati. He did not really get into any confrontation. Right? In a very simple and sublime way, he defeated them. And that's how he established his superiority. Right? Like, it will become quite obvious with Keshav Kashmiri. Like, yeah, so the thing is, they initially, all three of them, did not recognize his greatness. All three of them actually somehow tried to undermine him, right? Minimize him. Keshav Krishnaji was quite offensive actually. You know, not offensive as such, but you know, kind of neglectful. Oh, you're just a child. Like, what do you understand of Alankar poetry? Same thing with Sarvam Bhattacharya. That, like, this boy, this young man, has taken premature of sannyas. This is not the way sannyasi behaves. Sannyasi has to be grave. He is so young and he is so frivolous. He chants, sings and dances. How is he going to maintain his sannyasi? I will give him the real knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. And that's how I'll make him serious. If needed, I'll even elevate him in his sannyas ashram. He has taken sannyas from a lower class, lower grade sannyas community. And Prakashananda Saraswati was directly blaspheming. So, but we see how Mahaprabhu conquered him. That's his greatness. Without any confrontation, without hurting anyone's pride, he establishes. Thank you. Any other question? Okay then, if you don't have any question, yeah, okay.
Now, you were talking about earlier, you know, you see everything as Krishna's arrangement, but say, if you try to endeavor to do something for Krishna, and it doesn't work out in the beginning, how do you know that that is Krishna's desire and that you must have continued to endeavor in that direction? How do you know when it's Krishna's arrangement or...
Well, if Krishna tells you, that's wonderful. But not all of us are that fortunate to hear directly from Krishna. Krishna does that to his friend. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? But we are not in that level. So what we can do is, we try our best according to the instruction of our superior. That is the standard of rendering devotion. That's the difference between karma kanda and pure devotion. Karma vishya bhakti and pure devotion. In karma mishra bhakti, one acts according to his own desire and he offers the results to Krishna. Whereas in pure devotion, whatever the superiors, whatever my guru says, whatever the others say, I do. So that is the
Guru Maharaj was telling about that area in Bengal where the Pandavas were forbidden to go. What's the reason that the Pandavas did not go to that area in Bengal?
Because that place is meant to be remained hidden.
Why?
Because the hidden incarnation of the Lord would appear and then the glory of that place will become. Actually, in that sense, Bengal is the most exalted place. Two most exalted places are Vrindavan and Navadvip. Vrindavan is the place of Krishna's pastimes and Navadvip is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because Mahaprabhu came hiding his identity, the glory of Bengal also was hidden until he manifested, until he.
Can I ask one more question, please? Why is it that in some ISKCON temples you see only a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next to Radha Krishna and not Gauri? Is there a special reason why only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Yeah. That is to indicate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna together, when Radha Krishna become one, that is Sri Chaitanya. So, like for example, in the temples that have been established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He established Radha Krishna and Chaitanya. Gorsundar, Gandharvika, Giridhari in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada also in Calcutta, he established Radha Govinda and Chaitanya.
One more question?
Go ahead.
Why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu straight take sannyas in his life? Why did he get married to Lakshmi Devi first? Was that to give her a special favor?
Well, in his pastimes he displayed that one pastime he manifested his identity as Narayan with Lakshmi and two Shakti. Like Shri and Bhu. Shri Shakti, Shri Devi and Bhu Devi. Lakshmi Devi and Vishnu Devi. Like Narayan has his two potencies on two sides. Krishna also has his two potencies on two sides. In Vrindavan, Radharani, Chandravani. In Dwarka, Rukmini, Satyavati. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his pastimes in this. Just like Advaita Acharya Prabhu also, Nityananda Prabhu, Jannava Devi, Oshuna Devi. So he displayed his household pastime and then he entered into sannyas pastime.
Thank you very much.
You have a question? Yeah, give it to me.
Very much. The advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is it also to also get the Maya Vadi philosophy to kind of bring the impersonalism out and to bring the personalism in?
Yeah. You see, during that time, impersonalism was quite prevalent, and he established devotion over impersonalism, like his encounter with Sarvabhauma Acharya, his encounter with Prakashananda Saraswati. Through these encounters, he established the personalism above impersonalism. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So it seems that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such an adept scholar in so many different subject matters. So therefore, when he would have a debate with somebody, he was very proficient in what arguments they would present to him in order to defeat them. Today it seems that amongst the devotional community it's very much to study very limited texts, certain texts, which supposedly cover everything else. In my opinion, I always find when I study, I like to read a lot around the subject matter and then read other texts that I believe are accurate to give me a nice foundation. So what is your opinion on that?
Very good.
But in terms of today, you don't see... Sometimes if you pick up a book that's not one that says Srila Prabhupada
there is one verse, one line, two lines. Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alosh, jaha hoite Krishna lage shudriro manush. Don't be lazy and just accept the conclusion. Make an endeavor to understand properly, because then your understanding and your conviction will become fixed. But in the age of Kali, people don't have time. They're not very intelligent. So let them just accept chanting the holy name, that's the best. But when it comes to preaching, Prabhupada actually told once, that in order to preach properly, devotees must understand Sardarshan. And later on I asked Srila Prabhupada that why we have to study Sardarshan. Is it because, and mainly, why should we study? Because it has been, you mentioned that five out of the six darshans are atheistic. And in the beginning of Bhagavatam, when Narad Muni was speaking to Vasudev, he also said Vedanta Sutra is also the sixth one, the ultimate one, Vedanta Sutra, is also not really directly speaking about devotion. So do we need to, my question to Prabhupada was, do we need to study Sardarshan to defeat others? Prabhupada said, no. Defeating others is not our business. Preaching is our business. We have to present it in such a way that it convinces, and it is very, very, and then Prabhupada explained what actually the six branches of philosophy are, which I tried to present it in that book. I don't know whether you read that. Prabhupada actually pointed out that all these five are appear to be atheistic because those at that stage, they are not directly dealing with Krishna. Because they are not linked with Krishna, therefore they are atheists. But they are actually leading one to the other. Like Prabhupada pointed out, it's like a ladder. Ladder has different rungs to climb. The rungs are not the goal. Rungs are only the means. So six different branches of philosophy, five other branches of philosophy, bringing to the sixth branch, which is Vedanta Sutra, which has been explained by Vasudev through Srimad Bhagavatam, which is speaking about pure devotional service. That is the ultimate goal. So that is the point. You see, like, okay, if you, incidentally, I want to mention also, in your absence, your husband made some comments yesterday. It was very nice. He, in a very humble mood, said that you are more learned and more qualified than him. I mean, of course, I took it as if he was being very humble. Because everybody knows how learned he is. But that was a nice compliment that comes from a husband to his wife, or about his wife. Thank you. So yes, if you want to enrich yourself with more information, go ahead and do it. Because that will not only increase your conviction, but it will enable you to convince others too. That's why a preacher needs to be learning. Hare Krishna. Okay. So then, is it being presented, the song?
Yes, very much.
Okay.
And it's also on the WhatsApp group that we sent.
So wonderful. So this session for question answer, like I'll tell you that this question answer session, people think becomes the most exciting session. Whereas in Durban, for some reason, although you are so learned, so intelligent, you don't ask questions. I mean, I don't want to get into the bodily platform, but I want to point out that all the questions that came, excepting one, all came from non-Durban individuals. Shamananda, Sri Radharaman, Ananda Sakhi, Ranga Radhika, And only question came from, and she's also not from Devon, she's from Pretoria here. Hare Krishna. When did you come? Today? You came with Hare Krishna. So I'll just read the translation of the poetry. Out of compassion for the fallen souls, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates and divine abode to teach Sharanagati, the goal of surrender. Surrender to the Almighty Godhead and to freely distribute ecstatic love of God, which is ordinarily very difficult to obtain. This Saranagati is the very life of the true devotee. So this is first and second verse. And then third and fourth verse translation is, the ways of Saranagati are humility, dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith in Krishna will surely protect, faith that Krishna will surely protect, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct averse to pure devotion. The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice. Bhaktivinod places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan Goswami, and clasps their feet with his hand. And with tears in his eyes, he appeals to them, I am certainly the lowest of men, but please make me the best of men by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati. Oh, the beat, you know the beat, huh? Oh, anyway, it's a little complex beat.